6, as we begin to look at the book of Joshua and the faithfulness of God. Tonight we're going to be looking at Caleb's testimony. We're going to see a testimony that Caleb made, and what I want us to see tonight, we're going to look at four truths. They're in your little handout there, the main categories there. You'll see them as we get there, but four truths of Caleb's testimony. But let's begin with verse 6. It says, "Then the sons of Judah drew near to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenzite, said to him, 'You know the word which the Lord spoke to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought word back to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt with fear or become demoralized with fear, but I followed the Lord, my God, fully. So Moses swore that day, saying, Surely the land on which your foot has trodden will be an inheritance to you and to your children forever, because you have followed the Lord, my God, fully. So Moses swore on that day, saying, Surely the..." Oh, got off there, didn't I? "Now behold," verse 10, "Now behold, the Lord has let me live, just as he spoke these 45 years from the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses, when Israel walked in the wilderness. And now behold, I am 85 years old today. I am still as strong today as I was in the day Moses sent me. And my strength was then, so my strength is now, for war and for going out and coming in. Now then, give me this hill country about which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day that the Anakim were there with great fortified cities. Perhaps the Lord will be with me, and I will drive them out as the Lord has spoken." So Joshua pleaded with him and gave him Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. Therefore Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenzite, until this day, because he followed the Lord God of Israel fully. Now the name of Hebron was formerly Kiriath Ariba, for Ariba was the greatest man among the Anakim. Then the land had rest from war. Father God, I pray tonight, Lord, that you would open our hearts. Holy Spirit, you would speak to us to hear what the truths are in Caleb's testimony. And Holy Spirit, would you help us to move that from our mind, because we understand the truth, to our heart, and help us to respond to you. Father, your servants are listening. Would you speak to us now? And Lord God, I just pray everything in the precious and the most holy name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. What an amazing thing it is that we can look at someone else's life. They tell you, if you want to be successful, look at successful people and do what they do. And I think tonight we're going to see some truths from Caleb's testimony. And the first truth of Caleb's testimony was it was a testimony of complete devotion. He was completely devoted to the Lord. It tells us there, beginning back at verse 6, that they drew near at Gilgal, and that he served the Lord, finishing up there at verse 9. He served the Lord God fully. And with this complete devotion, we see that Caleb exhibited his devotion to the Lord during the ordeal at Kadesh Barnea. What do I mean? That's where we come in here with verse 6. And that slide will come back up there in just a second. Verse 6. It says, "Then the sons of Judah drew near to Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb came, the Kenzite, and said to him, You know the word which the Lord spoke to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. What was the ordeal there at Kadesh Barnea? But we're going to see in a little bit, going back, that's when God had led them out of the promised land, out of Egypt, and brought them to the promised land, and they sent in the spies. Sent in 12 spies. So that's what's going on here. And then he continues on. He says, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought word back to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt with fear, but I followed the Lord my God fully. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land on which your foot is trodden will be an inheritance to you and to your children forever, because you have followed, there it is again, the Lord my God fully. Caleb's testimony is a testimony of complete devotion. When God delivered the people from the bondage of Egypt, he led them there. He sent out those spies. He brought them, get this, he brought them right to the edge of the promised land. God had promised them that land. He swore to them. He made a covenant with them that he had already given them that land. He said, then I want you to send in some spies. And they went in, and then they come back, it tells us in Numbers chapters 13 and 14, where they came back and they returned and they had proof. The land is exactly what God said it would be. It's flowing with milk and honey. They had cut down a little thing of grapes. I call it little, so big it took two of them to carry, just one cluster of grapes. This land was already ready for them. Everything God said was right there before them. But the problem was when they came back, 10 of the spies gave a report that they were fearful. 10 of the spies were blinded. They saw obstacles and giants. They were blinded by the size of the giant because they were using their own eyes to look. And unfortunately, they were so blinded by their own fear and the size of what they saw that they never got to see the size of the God they worshiped. But there were two people, Caleb and Joshua, were the other two spies. They came back, they gave a report and said, yes, there are giants. Yes, there are fortified cities. But they should go because the Lord had already given them and told them to take it. Caleb stepped forward in complete devotion to God. And in Numbers 13:30, it informs us that Caleb stood in opposition against the other 10 that were there. And Caleb's words were, we will surely overcome it. But they listened to those that were looking with their own eyes. Caleb exhibited his devotion to the Lord by being willing to obey the Lord in light of difficulty. You ever have difficulty in your life? I think we all encounter that. Difficulty that the human eye saw. It tells us about the Amalekites. What is that? That were the giants. It was the descendants of Amalek, and they were giants. They were bigger than most people. They saw that there were these fortified cities. And Caleb still, even with that, stood up against the spies. They all saw the same thing. They saw the cluster of grapes. They saw the land the way it was. They saw the same giants. They saw the same fortified cities. But when they come back, you have 10 that are using their own eyes. And you have 2 that are looking through the eyes of God and what God had promised them. You see, the spies were putting their faith in their power. Caleb was putting his faith in the power of God and in his devotion to the Lord. He was dependent on the Lord, and it tells us in there that Caleb spoke from his heart. While Caleb gave a testimony of complete devotion, we see that. What about us today? Believers can exhibit their devotion to the Lord by standing firm in the Lord during tough times. It's easy to say one thing, it's another thing to do something. I believe actions often speak louder than words, and we can live and we can exhibit before others our life of devotion by standing firm in the Lord during tough times. I want to tell you something which you probably already know, but believers are not exempt from difficulty. If someone has ever told you, or if you ever hear on the radio, just pray hard enough, become a believer, everything's good, give enough money, everything will be good, all these things is a bunch of lies. There is a difference between joy and happiness. A believer can have joy regardless of what we're going through. We're not always happy about every situation, or at least I'm not. But every believer will face difficulties. We're not exempt from that. We all face obstacles and we all face adversity in our life. Each and every one of us in life will have to face our own giants. And unfortunately, it's not a giant just one time. There are different giants that come along. But the difference in the believer and the non-believer is how we choose to face them. Giants in life are different for everyone. It might be facing cancer, loneliness, extended pain, the loss of a job, divorce, death, or grief over death. Another giant might be having to make a decision. Any life change can be a giant. How we choose to face the giants determines our success or our failure. One can choose to be afraid and not face the giant and let them win. Just stick your head in the sand, they scare me too much, and they're going to win. They done won when that happens. Another one is you can try to go on and face it with your own mind and your own power and your own strength, and we know how that's going to end up. Or we can choose to put our faith in Christ and allow His peace to fill us and His strength to fill us. We can walk as believers with our heads high, knowing that we are Christ and that we're walking with Christ. We can face these giants, whatever they may be in your life, in my life, we can just run full force in, knowing that God is a sovereign God and that He is with us. You see, we can choose to walk and fight alone, or we can choose to walk and fight with Christ. We can look at our giants through our eyes or through the eyes of Christ. The second truth of Caleb's testimony was it is a truth of confident determination. Caleb was confident and he was determined in the Lord. He had seen the Lord. The Lord had worked in his life. He was faithful and he was confident. 45 years ago when they were first there, he was like, let's go on. And then he's confident now, some 45 years later, as an 85-year-old man. He is still confident in the Lord. You see, Caleb told Joshua that he was determined to take possession of the land that he inherited. He's telling Joshua in these next few verses we're going to look at, I can do it. I know the Lord is the one that's going to do it. He's going to use me. I'm confident in this. Look there beginning at verse 10. It says, now behold, the Lord has let me live. What is he talking about there? God's let him live. We're going to see in a moment a little bit more detail about that. Just as he spoke these 45 years from the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses when Israel was walking or wandering in the wilderness, and now behold, I'm 85 years old today. I am still as strong today as I was in the day Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so my strength is now for war and for going out and for coming in. See, Caleb was determined to take possession. Caleb told Joshua, this is at the point that they're going to begin divvying out the land, then they have to go in and take it. He told him that he was still strengthened for fighting. It wasn't just a walk. The land wasn't dead. There were still giants in the land. There were still fortified cities. They would have to go and take those. Caleb is saying, I'm as strong today at 85 as I was at 40. I'm so glad Caleb was like that, because I won't be today. We know that Moses was. When Moses died at over 100 years old, it tells us he was still a very powerful man, still a strong man. And Caleb is telling Joshua that he is still that way. He's still confident in the Lord. He said, I'm still confident of going in and coming out as the Lord says. Caleb was confident that what the Lord had promised him, that he would be faithful to follow through with. Caleb was determined to live in the land that God had promised him. God was living. Caleb would be living in the Lord. As far as those who were adults, when they came out of Egypt, they were all ages. They had been in bondage for all that time. God has delivered them. He brought them to the promised land. When the 10 spies, or the 12 spies, went and saw and come back, 10 gave the report. 2 said go, 10 said don't. It angered the Lord. The Lord said, I've already given this to you. I just wanted to give you a glimpse. Get it? God wanted to give them the glimpse of the glory that they were fixing to walk into. And instead, they come out with their heads between their legs and their tails between their legs. They were scared. But all of them that were adults of the deciding age were punished through death the 40 years that they wandered in the wilderness. God said, they're not going to see it. They're not going to inherit it. Not my words, but God's words. Let's turn to Numbers chapter 14. Put your finger there at your Joshua. Turn to Numbers 14, verse 20. So the Lord said, speaking to Moses, Moses is pleading for the people. God just wanted to wipe them out right there. He said, I'm done. But Moses pleaded with the Lord, and that's what we're picking up here. So the Lord said, I have pardoned them according to your word. But indeed, as I live, all the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord. Surely, all the men who have seen my glory and my signs, which I performed in Egypt and in the wilderness, yet have put me to the test these 10 times and have not listened to my voice, shall by no means see the land which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who spurned me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he has had a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land which he entered, as his descendants shall take possession of it. So we see that Caleb was determined to possess it. God had promised it to him. Put you a little piece of paper, or maybe that map you have at Numbers, because we're going to come back to that in a moment. But let's turn back over to Joshua. You see, Caleb had placed his confidence in the Lord. So he was able to live a confident and determined life. Because of his confidence in the Lord, Caleb was determined to take hold of that which the Lord had told him he would possess in the promised land. And God was faithful to Caleb to live and to come into that promised land. Caleb was determined to take possession of it. But what is that? How do we bring that home? How do we bring that to us? We see that believers can live confident and determined lives by not giving in or giving up as we serve the Lord. As believers, we can live confident and determined lives by not giving in or giving up as we serve the Lord. How often do we want to just throw the towel in? It's not happening the way I want to. Let me just throw the towel in. It's not going as quick as I think it did. Let's just throw the towel. I'm just going to give up. You know, this Christian life is difficult. I'm just going to give up. That's not determined, nor is that confident. Yes, I'll be the first one. We can link arms because it's difficult. There are choices we have to make. We live different than the world that we're in. But the best way to really understand this, and it'll be up here on the screen, so if you don't want to turn to this. The Apostle Paul wrote about God and the life of the believer. Let's look at this in Philippians chapter 1. It says, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and deacons. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all. In view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now, for I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. If you are a believer, if you have put your faith in Jesus Christ and you're a believer in him, God has started something good in you. He has placed the Holy Spirit in you as a testimony, as a down payment, saying he's going to come back. But when we come to him dirty and filthy, God takes us and cleans us. He declares us righteous. And Paul's telling us here, what God has began a good work, he's going to complete it. Do you think if God gave his son for you and you chose him and he's began a good work in you, that he's not going to work through you the rest of your life? And when you die, glory, hallelujah, we're going to get it better than we have it here. A couple of us were talking the other day, ready to die, but I'm not ready to push it on. You know, when the Lord's ready, I'm ready. I'm not encouraging it, but I'm ready. But how much better will that be? As a believer, God has begun that work in us. God has started. He will be faithful to complete it. We can live confident and determined. We can be confident and determined to live for Christ and to serve him, even when it seems God is silent. I don't know if you've ever gone through as this whole little series talks about, a desert, if you've gone through a dry place in your life where maybe it seemed that God was silent. It might have seemed that way, but he's always there. When God does not answer our prayers when or the way we want or how we expect him to, just throw in the towel. Give up. That's not confident and determined. What we understand, what the Bible says, God's ways are what? Higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. God is sovereign, people, and he is overall and he is in control. Why does he allow us to face adversity? Probably one of the number one questions people, you know, we hear the question sometimes, if God's such a good God, why is there so much evil in the world? Well, there's evil in the world because sin entered in. But what we have to understand when we face adversity, while God might not, at times he does, but he doesn't always bring the adversity. He uses things in our life. But what God is wanting to do, he's wanting to shape us. He's wanting to make us. He wants us to know who he is, the way the Bible talks about it, the word gnosis, talking about by experience. So there are times that we can be confident knowing he's working. How many of you in here have gone into your house before and walked over to the wall and flipped up a light switch? Raise your hand. We're going to get a little action. Have you all done it? Why did you do that?
Because you knew the light would come on.
Why did you know the light would come on? Because it always does. How do we know God's faithful? Because he works in our life. We have experienced turning on that light switch, and there's light there. God wants us to know him. We're confident. Unless you're like me, when the power's out, you still go flip the light switch. But the thing about God is he is the source of power. He is the light. He never goes out. We can be confident and determined by not giving up. Just because God's not working when and how we want him to doesn't mean he's not working. He's sovereign. We must be confident and determined to follow and serve God regardless of what we face. We are going to face giants. But if we don't face those giants, then we'll miss out. If Caleb was not confident and determined and never threw in the hat, he would have never received the blessing of the Lord. So not only do we have the truth of his testimony being a confident determination, but the third truth is a testimony of courageous faith. Let me tell you what, Caleb had some courageous faith. Verse 12 in Joshua 14. Now then, give me this hill country about which the Lord spoke on that day, for you heard on that day that the Anakim were there with great fortified cities. Perhaps the Lord will be with me, and I will drive them out as the Lord has spoken. Caleb was bold in asking for it. Numbers 17, what is he talking about? Numbers 14, 17 says, but now I pray that the power of the Lord be great, just as you have declared. Numbers 14, 21, but indeed as I live, all the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord. Take a look at your map if you have it there, the one from week one, not the one you have there in front of you. We're going to get to that one real quick. Look at the one you have from week one, the nice, pretty colored one, not the faded out one that these people sent. You will look almost dead center where Jericho is, just north of the Dead Sea. You will see Gilgal. You see that? G-I-L-G-A-L, almost right in the center. The scripture that we looked at said that they came to Joshua in Gilgal. So that's where they're at. And what Caleb is asking for, it tells us down in verse 14 and 15 that he received Hebron. Come down and to the left just a little bit in that brown, and you'll see the word Hebron. We talked about it last week, I think, just a little bit. You'll see in Gedi, right there at the middle of the Dead Sea. Go to the left just a little bit. There's Hebron. That's the hill country. That's what he's asking for. What I found so amazing, now look on the map I gave you tonight, and you'll see the route that the spies took. They were at Kadesh Barnea, it tells us. Moses told them to go up into the hill country. They went up to none other than Hebron. And that's where they saw the giants. That's where they saw the fortified cities. And here, because of Caleb's confidence, he's asking for that land. That's where he was. The Lord told him, I'm going to give you the land where you're trotting. When all of this happened, and now he's going to Joshua, said, the Lord told Moses that this was to be my land, and I'm asking for it, kind of like some, you know. He's probably not going to have too hard of a problem getting it, because the others, I mean, there's giants there. I don't want the one with the giant. Give me the one with all the good grapes, right? But Caleb is asking, he's courageous in his faith. Caleb had no doubt that he would be successful because the Lord would help him. That's how he can be courageous. That's how he has this faith, because he knows. He has no doubt whatsoever that the Lord's going to be faithful. This is where he saw the giants when they were spying out. He was courageous that the Lord would give it to him. 40 years before this, he was there. He was courageous. Now they've wandered through the wilderness, and now here they are back. He said, give me the city with the giants. I'll go in. The Lord has promised. The Lord will deliver. He was courageous. He was faithful. With that in mind, he still asked Joshua for that to be his inheritance. Caleb is courageous to ask For the area filled with giants, the area filled with obstacles. Caleb constantly kept his eye on God. Caleb's focus was on the Lord. The Lord encouraged him. I don't believe we always want to take the path where the giants are. Lord, lead me around is probably most of our prayers. Lord, I don't want to face them, but how would we ever have experienced that? Caleb's courageous faith gave him the assurance that he would be successful. Caleb's courageous faith came from knowing that the Lord would help him, that it would not be him doing the work. When we're in life today as believers, we know that we are God's children. God loves us. He's going to be there for us. So we can bring that home to us on this part of the truth, and believers can follow Caleb's example by trusting the Lord to help us. What a thought. Nifty little thought. Let the Lord help us. Because I tell you, what we face as believers, we can't go through without the hope of believers. See, believers can live with the same courageous faith as Caleb did. We just must place our trust in the Lord. We must place our faith and trust in the Lord to help us. It's called living out our faith. Let's look at this from James chapter 2. What use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but he has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you say to them, go in peace, be warmed and be filled, and yet do not give them what is necessary for the body, what use is that? Faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. But someone may well say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one, you do well. The demons also believe and shudder. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? There's some that take this set of passage and they'll run with it. We do not, hear me clearly, and you know this, we do not earn our faith. We do not work for our faith. Our faith comes as a gift. It is through the grace and the mercy of God. But out of that faith, we should desire to serve. We work for Him. We work because of what He's done for us. We didn't earn it. We can't lose it. But our faith should have actions to it. And we do that by trusting God to help us. We must trust that the Lord is working in our lives. Remember Philippians 1:6, we're reminded that God is always at work in our lives to perfect us and to make us. Another passage is out of Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary or lose heart. We believe in faith, we live in faith, and we are able to face any giant courageously through our faith in Christ Jesus. So we have that the testimony was a courageous faith. The fourth truth is Caleb's testimony was a testimony of remarkable effectiveness. Caleb had remarkable effectiveness in his life by trusting in the Lord, by putting his faith in him, by being confident in him. What is this remarkable effectiveness that he had? Caleb took possession of the land that he requested, even though he faced a fierce enemy. Caleb knew what was there. Caleb was now fixing to have to go up against these giants and these fortified cities. He was going up against his enemy who did not want him to be there. And listen to the words from Joshua in beginning in verse 13. So Joshua blessed and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. Therefore, Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenzite, until this day, because he followed the Lord God of Israel fully. Now the name of Hebron was formerly Kiriath Araba, for Araba was the greatest man among the Anakim. Then the land had rest from war. What a testimony. Caleb remained faithful to God through everything. Caleb remained dedicated to God. God did not operate in Caleb's time. God did not operate in the way Caleb would have wanted God to. Can you imagine Caleb's thoughts? When they came out of Egypt, they came to Canaan, the promised land. He's seeing all the fullness and all the glory. God said, this is yours. I have given it to you. All you have to do is go in and take it. And then coming out excited, he was ready to go in and take possession of the land that the Lord promised them, just to have it snatched or squashed right in front of him. Because the other 10 spies said, no, we can't go in. And it was taken from him because they didn't have enough faith. Then Caleb had to wander through the wilderness for 40 years. You see, he's not working in Caleb's time. Caleb was ready. Caleb thought, now is the time I'm fixing to get this. But he's now going through all the difficulty and all the wandering in the wilderness. I'm sure he's praying to the Lord for 40 years. 40 years is a long time. And I'm sure that Caleb remained faithful to God. But I cannot help and wonder if he and God had a few little talks. God, you promised. What's up? Year after year after year. Even though it all remained, he remained obedient, determined, and believed through faith that God would keep his promise. Caleb would now get to take possession of the land that God promised him and that he had requested. It was not without human difficulty. There was still the issue of the fierce enemy. Caleb would have to face that enemy. Caleb went in being obedient to the Lord with a courageous faith and took the land. Look at the end of this section of Scripture, the end of chapter 14, verse 15 says, now the name of Hebron was formerly Kiriath Arab, for Araba was the greatest among the Anakim. He wasn't just going up against some giants. He was going up against the greatest of the giants, the one the city was named after. But you see, he had remarkable effectiveness, because look at the last part. Then the land had rest from war. He went in through faith. The Lord gave it to him, and there was rest from the war. Caleb took possession of the land. As believers, we can live a remarkable and effective life by living out the Lord's plan, regardless of challenges. If we want to live a remarkable, how many of you want to live, honestly, I do, want to live a remarkable and effective life? We must do that by living the Lord's plan, regardless of the challenges. There will be challenges, I'm here to tell you. There will be challenges. But if we're doing the Lord's plan and we're putting our faith in Him, He's already started and He's going to work it. As believers in Jesus Christ, we too can live a remarkable and effective life. We can live this life by living the Lord's plans. How do we do it? We must put our faith in Christ to see us through anything and everything. Jesus said that He came that we may have what? Life, and we may have life abundantly. Believers are the only ones in the world with real hope. We can live remarkable and effective lives because we have the confidence that God is at work. God is the one working through us. When we obey God, place our faith in Him, He will see us through. God will walk with us. God does walk with us. We must remember that the giants or the enemies we face in our life are not as they seem. See, the enemy wants to make them bigger. Many times they might even just be little sugar ants. But that's not the game of the enemy. They want to make them look big. The enemy wants them to seem daunting and overwhelming. I'm here to tell you, if we place our focus on the size of the giants that we face, we will miss experiencing the size of our God. And I promise you, He is a lot bigger than any giant you will ever face. We must be obedient to God regardless of the challenges. I believe that God allows us to face giants so that we can learn to lead on Him. God wants us to courageously place our faith in Him so that He can show us who He is. We have Scripture who shows us who He is. We have this testimony of Caleb that shows us who He is. But there's something different about experiencing Him in your own life that changes who we are, that helps us go through. When we have a giant that we face, we can remember how He was with us through the last giant. And we hold our head up high, and we can walk in knowing that the Lord is with us. Amen.